grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Let us pray.
Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One, and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 93 responsively. The Lord is King, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord has made the world so sure that it cannot be moved. Ever since the world began, your throne has been established. You are from everlasting. The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the sun. Your testimonies are very sure, and the holiness befits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Revelation. Grace to you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look. He is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We get to observe the feast of Christ the King, this observance of Christ our Almighty King on this weekend of Thanksgiving. And it's not, doesn't happen very often, or at least only every 6 or 7 years, 7 years, I guess, that Thanksgiving falls on Christ the King Sunday. And I love the connection between Thanksgiving and the Feast of Christ the King. I was in Virginia for Thanksgiving with my sister and brother-in-law, and I read an interesting article in the newspaper on that day about the first Thanksgiving. And if you're from Virginia or from the South, you will know that the first Thanksgiving was not in Massachusetts with Puritans and Native Americans sharing turkey and deer and corn and squash. But the first Thanksgiving was in Virginia 2 years earlier than the one that we note. And it was a group of plantation workers, colonists, who had sailed there. And this is what it wasn't a meal at all. It was just a prayer of thanks. And this is the ship's captain carried this mandate. It said, "We ordain that the day of our ship's arrival at the place assigned for plantation in the land of Virginia shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God." So that's the first Thanksgiving. That wasn't a meal. It was just a prayer by about 30 guys standing on the shore as their ship had landed. That might have been the first, but that's not the one that we remember, because who would remember just a prayer service? You got to add food. And then it will be remembered perpetually for a Thanksgiving day and celebrated with regularity. But whether it was a meal in Massachusetts or a prayer in Virginia, we know that neither of these Thanksgiving days would have been attended by a king. No king would be invited. People were coming to the colonies to escape from the tyranny of the king and of the church. They were getting away. They were sailing across the sea to flee oppression from the King of England and from forced religious practice. They would not have wanted to have anything to do with a king joining their harvest feast or their prayers of thanksgiving. In Jesus' day, people really knew what a king was. A king was the most powerful human being on earth. When the king spoke, nations trembled. The king was the one and the only one who could secure peace, who could keep order in the nation. The king was honored and respected and served. The king was of so much importance that even time was calculated on the basis of the king's reign. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, and even today, in the year of our Lord, 2012. What does it mean that we name Jesus our King? Certainly, we don't look at Jesus as the Puritans looked at the King of England. The image of Jesus as King is not easy for us to get a hold of. What does it mean, Jesus King? That was the question that Pilate was clearly wondering. Our gospel reading this morning tells that story of Jesus and Pilate coming face to face with this issue of power and authority and kingship. Pilate was an obedient servant to Caesar. Caesar, who was the most powerful king in the world. Pilate knew what a king was. He knew all about the power that a king had and the authority that he exercises, the unquestioning obedience that the king demands, and the power that the king has over life and death. Pilate knew what a king was. It must have seemed ridiculous to him as he looked at this humble, ordinary-looking man and asked if he was a king. Pilate knew kings, and this wasn't one. He knew how kings acted, how they behaved, how they dressed. This wasn't a king. But he still asks the question, are you the king of the Jews? And in answering, Jesus says, well, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a kingdom not fought in the ways of warfare. Rather, this kingdom testifies to the truth. This king will not kill for the truth. This king will die for it. This is a suffering king. This king will not demand ransom. This king will be ransom. He will win, not by spilling the blood of others, but by shedding his own blood. This king has a crown of thorns, not of gold and gems. I want to draw your attention to the icon on the right over here. This icon is called Christ's Pantocrator. 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 There's another Greek word for you. So you learned Eucharist. This is another Greek word, and it means the Almighty. The Greek word means the Almighty or the ruler of all the world. And from the book of Revelation, we heard this morning, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. If we were reading that in Greek, we would have ended up with the Alpha and the Omega. Those are both Greek letters, the beginning and the end. And we would have ended that phrase with Pantocrator. This image of Jesus as King, the Almighty, the ruler of all the earth. And what is he holding? A book and a blessing. Now, if you really want to look at that icon, the shape of the fingers on Jesus also says Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Those are the initials that his hand is making, if you trace out the initials. And that's what it says around the halo, too. But this king is not holding the tools to build a kingdom, like a sword and a spear or a shield. This king is holding a book, and it's in Greek, that's the passage that we just read from, it's a passage from John's Gospel saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And this king is holding a blessing. This is the king who, the tools of building the kingdom, not a sword, not a shield, but a blessing, faith, mercy, grace. Jesus says, my kingdom is not from this world. Now, I think on some level, Pilate understood this. He knows that the kingdom of Jesus is not the same as the kingdom that Caesar is ruling. Jesus is not a worldly king. His power does not come from this world. And is not exercised in the way that one exercises power. Jesus carried out his power by serving others, by forgiving, by healing others, by giving to others, by sacrificing himself for others. Jesus' kingdom and the reign of Christ our King is all about others. And Jesus' kingdom is not something that's coming at some future time in some future world. Jesus' kingdom is now. The kingdom of Jesus is real in the baptism that we share in, the baptism that we are made part of this kingdom as well. It is through baptism that we're invited to share in this reign of Jesus Christ, our King, right now. We share in this reign of Jesus Christ, our King, right here. We are invited to walk in the light of Jesus Christ himself and share in the communion that is his body and blood. This is the kingdom of wholeness and healing. This is the kingdom of health, of unity, and peace. Thanksgiving weekend is usually the highest volume of business in the shopping malls and in the retail stores. Did anyone go shopping on Friday? Some people did. Stood in line. Had to wait. I flew on Friday from Virginia, and I thought it would be a bit. I was the only one in the airport in Richmond. It was empty. And I said, where are all the people? And the woman at the desk said, they're all shopping. They'll be here on Sunday. Well, it's nice that we can take a stop from the flurry and on Christ the King Sunday and hear this good news. This is the good news that Jesus says to us on Christ the King Sunday. You are enough. You are worthy of love and honor. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to earn God's love, because God has already given it to you freely and abundantly in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of voices out there that will tell you that your worth is determined by how much you have, and that your loved ones will love you more if you give them more. But here again, the good news of Christ the King. You are loved. God declares you worthy and loved and part of this kingdom where you are free to look to the needs of others, to the needs of others who have less than we do, who are less fortunate, and we are free to love as we are loved. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who reigns in love and mercy, not from a throne with a sword and a spear, but from a cross with his arms outstretched in love for you. Amen.